JG3 Number 2B.
Yes, so what we want to always maintain in our consciousness is the two big points that we have learned from science and health, that phenomena of the 6,000-year period, is really, as the textbook's title tells us, as we've seen, that this is science and health. We cannot have a holistic, dimensional, a teleological structure of consciousness of the new oncoming millennium if we know we don't have these two aspects. These two aspects involve, first of all, what is reality? That's science. And how do I become one with reality? That's health. So we know that Mrs. Eddy could have a different title for her textbook, but still stay within the overall tonality of the textbook, of the phenomenon of the 6,000-year period, the volume of truth. That little book that Jesus said would come and teach you the spirit of truth. So the tonality of truth naturally is the two-edged sword of truth. And so, therefore, one edge of this is what is reality, what is those laws, what is the exact letter. That's nice, but if we left it just as that, it would eventually become, as we call it, dry bones, or it would become a glass bead game. We would be working with a symbol system of which it would cut no ice, so to speak, in our everyday human experience. But we see that the other arm to the Christ is not only principle presenting what God is, that's what the Christ does, isn't it, in the first translation, but we have not just the first translation on page 115 in the textbook, but we know we have the second translation also, where it says, and how do I become one with that reality? How does our consciousness become a healthy, whole consciousness? And that's where we see it's not on our effort, but the Christ brings to all the universe, including Earth, including all mankind, what we all are as principles, idea, and it analyzes, uncovers, and annihilates any claim against us that isn't like that principle through the first degree of the physical, to the second degree of the moral and mental, onto the spiritual realm. That's a self-operating, self-seeking system. So, therefore, we see that Mrs. Eddy always works with these two major points. And I love where she shows here in the textbook on page 423-24. This is more or less the epitomization of her discovery of Christ science, the Christ is a Christ point of view. She says, both science and consciousness are now at work in the economy of being, according to the law of mind, which ultimately asserts its absolute supremacy. So then we see we have those two big parts of the two-edged sword of truth, that algorithm of being that you could say is pulse, no pulse, the one or two, the binary code of being, you could say. And therefore, it's she shows that no and yes, where she talks about how God's laws do what? They constitute our individuality or our structure of consciousness. Or we could see that science or God's law, therefore, that structure of science, the ultimate goal is the same as our structure of consciousness and the structure of the universe and nature. So this is quite important for us to see, that we're working with reality and consciousness. And therefore, when we work with these two points, we can see then on page 14 in the study aid that we have these four different aspects of culturing consciousness in our study. And we do this naturally with the seven synonymous terms for God, as well as the fourfold operation, as well as our study of the four levels. We know now that we always first got concept build. That's getting the concepts clear. We have to always find out what is the inner meaning of the ideas of mind. And therefore, we find that, of course, from our study of the textbook, how Mrs. Eddy defines mind. And we have the fruition of that study in Kapler's books on the compendium, where we see that mind perhaps is defined through creator or producer or parent mind. And we know that the spiritual definitions of creator, producer, and parent mind are totally different than our pedestrian schoolgirl, schoolboy definitions. That here Mrs. Eddy says that the divine mind is the grand creator, and thus made all. Mind's creation is intact. Nothing is left for a lower creator to create. And therefore, it shows that creator is a producer, and that man and the universe are the product, and that the only parent mind we have is that one parent mind. Therefore, that mind which is God is our father, mother, our origin, to which we go to constantly for revelation, reason, and demonstration. And therefore, that parent mind, which is our origin and the cause behind our existence, that willed and wanted us and created us, really therefore frees us from the laws of heredity and frees, the universe, including Earth, including us, our family, our children. We take everything back to the one parent mind. We know how much work is being done in the world today on a blueprint of the human being through genetics, that they hope someday to have a blueprint of the whole body of the DNA so that they'll be able to see which diseases we have inherited through heredity. And so we can see we don't have to wait till they get the whole blueprint, though I understand they're very close, that we are freed right now from those claims of heredity. Where our past is now, our future is now, whether asleep or awake, we're free from those claims of heredity if we do as Jesus does and accept that parent mind. You see, this is concept building with the inner meaning of just the first three ideas that we find in the compendium under mind. This certainly is a different definition of a creator or a producer or an origin that we would get beyond what we get through the compendium study. The same we know, we learn all the ideas under spirit and their spiritual meaning and soul, principle, life, truth, and love through that indispensable compendium method. It cannot be sidestepped, as we well know. Well, along with getting the spiritual definition of the ideas that characterize the synonymous terms, we also get the spiritual definitions for the word Christ, Christianity, and science, and also for the levels of science itself, divine science, absolute Christian science, and Christian science. Our morning work will be gathering the tonality and concept building on the levels of science itself, divine science, absolute Christian science, and Christian science through the ideas that characterize those levels. So we see after we then have concept build, the next point then on the diagram here we see then is that whole concept of tonality building. Here we see that once we gain the clear concept and we begin to see how those ideas, for example, undermine, interrelate to build up a tick, 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 huh? Where the whole is greater than the sum of its parts, where all the ideas undermine, such as creator, producer, need each other in order to explain mind. They intra-relate. Like an intra-commerce, commerce trucking within a state, inter-commerce, trucking from state to state. So the ideas within mind begin to intra-relate. that a creator can't be a creator unless it's a producer, unless it's a parent mind, unless it has the will to create, unless it has the mandate to create, unless it has a law to create, unless it can influence. All these points go to make up a creator, a mind. So we begin to see how all the ideas under mind hang together, so to speak, under a common denominator called mind. Now, all those ideas, when they interrelate, build up, as I say, a tick, tick, tick. That tick, tick, tick is giving off a tone where the whole is greater than the sum of its part. And it's that tone that is important that we get from all the ideas under mind interrelating. Now, that tone can be given the symbol mind, but it doesn't have to be. That's a symbol. Symbols can change. We know in German that the tone for mind is Gemüt. Well, they have the same tone, but a different word, you see. So we could call mind, we could call that tone anything we wanted. It's the tone that matters, not the symbol. It just so happens that we like for all those ideas under mind, when they interrelate and give off a tone, we like the symbol mind, because symbol in reality has become so abstract and so close together. The tone given off by the ideas is very close to the symbol, isn't it? As we feel, we're comfortable with it. And the same is true of spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. For example, then spirit, how all the ideas under spirit hang together, they interrelate, they demand each other in order to give off a tone, and that tone we have given the symbol spirit. But this doesn't hold so true when we get to the word Christ, Christianity, and science, does it? There the symbols become more biblical and we get more resistance in the world today, especially from people who come from other denominations or than Christianity, from Islam or Buddhism, any of these other world religions. There tends to be a tendency to resist the Christian terminology. Well, we could use for word input, for Christ process, for Christianity output, and for science feedback. It doesn't matter what the symbol is, it's the idea. And the same for the levels. Especially we get a resistance when we say, well, science itself is all right, divine science, but when we talk about an absolute Christian science or a Christian science, the connotation becomes a sectarian religion, which we know isn't true. We are teaching a universal science, and gradually we may drop off those terms, absolute Christian and Christian, to define the place value of them on the levels and dimensions of being. So we don't want to get hung up on the exact letter. It's the tonality we're after. So we study the exact letter. And once we study the exact letter, then through concept building, then that letter becomes tonality. And once it becomes tonality, and it becomes the structure of our consciousness, and once it becomes the structure of our consciousness, it becomes our very own being. Therefore, we know the subject is about, again, reality and consciousness, but ultimately we see that as we saw on the level of science itself, reality and consciousness become the same thing. We don't have to talk about both. Science and consciousness are now at work. On the ascending way, through the eight ordered steps to oneness with being, we have seen then on the divine science level that principle and its idea is one, and this one is principle, which catapults us into the realm of science itself. And there we have gone from the irrational through the rational to the irrational. And there it's just a question of consciousness itself, of awareness itself, not between a subject and object, but just the I, infinitely being, that is spiraling higher and higher from a boundless basis. But each one has our infinite individuality within that infinite being. So it's all consciousness that we're after. Therefore, we never want to feel as we go through the model of being that it becomes just a concept building and intellectual exercise where we figure that, well, we'll see when we go through the laws how we could leave it as an intellectual exercise and not take it on into consciousness. So this is something that we carry with us and realize that is the most important point of our subject, that it becomes our very own being and certainly not a teacher's or anyone else's very own being. Now, beginning this work today on the four levels of spiritual consciousness and the tonality of those levels, there's a very important concept that we have to build on, and then will tonality build with it, and then it will become our consciousness and being. That is this whole question of dimensionalism. One could not touch the four levels of spiritual consciousness if we didn't understand this term dimensionalism. Now, Max has said to us that he would have perhaps done something a bit different with his Four Levels of Spiritual Consciousness book. He said that perhaps he would not have called it Four Levels. That maybe at the time he was thinking of calling it the Four Dimensions of Spiritual Consciousness. I think today probably that is a much more apropos or exact terminology. This he has wondered because it has had us made to discuss this whole question of dimension of levels in quite detail so that we aren't hung up on the sense that these levels are layers that exist independent of each other. You know how Max would always say that they're not levels like various nice levels in a multi-layered cake that exist separate from each other, that therefore they're not layers, but they're really interrelated dimensions. So this whole issue of dimensionalism will let us understand instantaneously after we have concept build that the question of tonality on each level of consciousness. It becomes obvious why the tones are as they are and why they appear to vary and change through each level. So let's take a look then at this concept of dimensionalism, and I always like to build it, of course, from the bottom up. And so from the very bottom, we see here that concept of principle, and that principle, therefore defined by Merriam-Webster, is that it's a fundamental truth, a comprehensive law or doctrine from which others are derived or on which others are founded. It's a general truth. So we already see that principle is a comprehensive law which includes all other laws. All of a sudden we begin to see that that principle somehow is comprehensive and holistic, but within that holistic principle are many different laws. Well, when we get many different laws, we get many different levels, because a law usually describes a multitude of phenomenon on a certain level. So what we see then with this concept of divine cybernetics, it's just showing then how that one principle God operates. How does that one principle God, or that one law which includes all other laws, express itself? That principle God always operates, we know, by itself. It's a self-operating, self-organizing, error-preventing, error-correcting, mistake-friendly principle. It always operates holistically, always as the whole. It always operates dimensionally, always as the whole, which appears simultaneously on different levels in different forms, yet still remains the whole. And it always operates teleologically, as the whole shaped by the purpose of the whole. So we know these things, but just to build up a nice tone, then what we see is that we may have our own definitions from different places, but from Max's Kapler's book, the first volume, Genesis, page 2, we see then that the whole is greater than the sum of its parts, and that a whole is a whole by virtue of the relationships that bind all the elements or aspects of that whole into one coherent unity. We could not understand the dimensions of being or the four dimensions of being without really understanding that being is undivided. It cannot be divided. It always maintains that the whole is greater than the sum of its parts. And what makes it so? Relationships, doesn't it? So we see that one being is a relationship of dimensions or levels which cannot be divided up, and together they make up that holistic one being. I love this definition here. It's by Merriam-Webster, but it says that holism is a philosophic theory first formulated by Jan C. Smuts, that the determining factors in nature are wholes, which are irreducible to the sum of their parts, and that evolution of the universe is the record of the activity and making of these wholes. Isn't that nice? That the whole evolution of the universe is the record of the activity of these wholes. And so the whole universe always has to be explained holistically. And we can never, ever get outside the one being. This is what we saw last evening. It's a crisis of perception. An illusion is a pattern capable of reversal. So principle God mind has presented its original pattern of the universe, divine science, of the earth and individual man, absolute Christian science, and that pattern is intact. And we say, well, then what's our problem? Our problem is that we're going out from the second record of creation with the concepts or conceptual tools of the second record of creation, and we are seeing through a glass darkly the original patterns through our false misunderstanding, our misrepresentation of the original pattern. We're seeing the original pattern, but in reverse, and it becomes an optical illusion. You know how sometimes you can look at for example, a cube, and sometimes it looks that one point of a cube end is back, and another time it looks forward. We know the reversal of any pattern in optical illusion. So, therefore, what happens is the same pattern there as a cube. If we either see through the lens of science as it is, this part comes forward, or we see the reversal, the part going back, according to our standpoint of observation. So, the original pattern of God is there, that holistic pattern is there, because God is a whole. It cannot be divided. Everything has to be explained within that whole, you see. These levels are holistic. They're together. It's just then a question whether we see God, as I say, as it is, the original pattern, or reverse, and we're learning the tonality of the divine system of reference to all finally have that one view of reality out from that one mind, which is God. And when we go out from the I mind, we see the universe as God sees the universe, and we all are that one mind, infinitely individualized and adapted to a specific situation, yet still remaining the one mind, which is God. Our great, great problems is our belief in minds many, are each one of us locked into our own virtual realm. It's like each one of us has the hood of virtual reality on us, and we're seeing our own little world. And we just don't communicate with the person next to us and with our total self-justification, because in our worldview, this is how it is. We stick up for what it is. This is the danger always of a religionist, is we know that they cannot be proven wrong. And for example, in Waco, Texas, David Koresh, in that experience we had not so long ago, was one of a religionist who couldn't be proven wrong and took his whole congregation, so to speak, with him. They all bought into his worldview. And you know that some people who perhaps had gone to the store at the time the compound was set on fire just cried and cried and cried that they weren't in the compound and were burned up at the same time. They had bought into that virtual reality, hypnotic suggestion world of David Koresh, and that was reality to them. This is the danger, isn't it? And a religionist will not change. That's in big, broad terms. But a scientist is open to investigation, open to poking its head outside its little realm, looking at the universe, and always questioning it. Can it be different? As Bruce Wilshire said, we're confined to a store of conceptual tools, and that we should forge new conceptual tools, and perhaps with these new tools, we'll see the world differently. Indeed, the world may be quite different. So you see, it's all a crisis of perception, but this wholeness shows that that everything has to be explained within the one being. And therefore, the armies of evil are the armies of the Lord. Evil is just good, not seen, isn't it? Matter is just spirit, misunderstood. All of this is showing that everything is just God going on. The law of gravity can be called physical if the physical scientists want to. But ultimately, the Christ idea, as we saw last evening, will take it from a physical explanation to a mental explanation, finally to its rightful home and classification as the law of mind, of which it is spiritual. So therefore, we love this sense of holism.